If you would, turn in your Old Testaments to the book of Daniel. We're going to look at some lessons. It's not going to be an exhaustive lesson because there is a ton of lessons from the book of Daniel. But there's a number of things I would like for us to look at today from the life and the service of Daniel, mostly as an individual. Daniel was a great man of God. Mel read our scripture reading today, Daniel 1:8, how Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel was an Israelite that was brought into the service of the Babylonian Empire. And that's the setting that we're going to see that Daniel serving God in a less than perfect setting, where he's going to try to maintain his service and faith to God amongst people that don't necessarily see his God the way he does. Daniel 1:1, we see that the setting, that it was in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah. That happened to be in 604 B.C. I promise there's not going to be a test. You're not going to have to answer questions and so forth at the end of this. I wanted to set the stage with Daniel. And verse 21 says, "Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus." And that would be about 45 years he would be in this setting. He would be a eunuch in the kingdom of the Babylonian Empire. He would serve a number of different people, and he never quit serving God. One of the lessons that I personally get out of the book of Daniel, and when we look at Daniel as an individual, this is something I made a comment in Bible class this morning that one of the things I get out of the Bible every time I open it is the nature of man and the nature of God has never changed. Whether it be from the earliest days to the New Testament to us today. And in Daniel 1:8, it kind of sets the stage. Daniel, as a eunuch in the empire, was going to be given the opportunity to allow himself some delicacies of food, and he was going to turn it down. And it's not so much about food, it's the attitude. It's the attitude that he has set his mind ahead of time that he is going to serve God. And it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. As a Christian, and in Bible class we're talking about integrity today from the book of Proverbs. That's integrity. He could have gotten away with it. He could have enjoyed the delicacies of the palace. But he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I get great comfort. I get great encouragement. I get great inspiration out of this, that to tell me today, living right now, to purpose in my heart to serve God, to purpose in my heart to live my life according to the words of God. And this is one of the main lessons. This hinges on everything else Daniel did. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would serve God, that he would not defile himself, that God would be first. And we're going to see this thread being woven through every other issue we look at. This is paramount in Daniel's life, that he purposed in his heart. He made the decision before crunch time came, before he was faced with sin. The decision was already made because he would serve his God. Another aspect of Daniel is he surrounded himself with godly friends. You yourselves know how hard it is sometimes in the world to be around ungodly people and maintain your spiritual walk. It is tough. I always remember the words of encouragement from people to choose your friends wisely. To, you know, I remember my mom and dad, you know, to always surround yourself with good people that you can't be around bad people all the time and it not rub off. And Daniel had godly people that he could relate to, that he could surround himself with. They also were Israelites, and they would be able to gain strength from each other. In Daniel 3, starting in verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, counselors, treasurers, the judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the province gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." That's going to be the result. The king has made an image of himself, and it was huge, 60 cubits high, and whoever does not fall down and worship when they hear the music playing, they will be put in a fiery furnace. And skipping over to verse 12, it says, "There were certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Keep forgetting that wall. Can't pick up. "But if not, we understand that our God is able to deliver us, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." These are the people that Daniel had around him. These are people that will not bow down to worship others. Wouldn't it have been easy? Oh, we'll bow down because, you know, we want to save our lives. But inside, we really don't mean it. God, you understand. We're doing it to save our lives. They said, we will not. Those are the people that Daniel had around him to encourage him, that they could be encouraged by him, and vice versa. And we know the story. Or I hope you know the story, that the music sounded, they refused to bow down, and they were cast into the fiery furnace. And they were not hurt. But the bottom line is Daniel had some people that he could be encouraged by, that he was surrounded with, that were good, godly people that are not going to distract him. What encouragement did Daniel get from his friends? In Proverbs 12:26, it says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, he says, "Do not be deceived. Don't be fooled by this. Evil company corrupts good habits." You kids, when you go to school, make sure that you play and make friends with good people, not people that will lead you astray. And also, you kids, you make sure your mom and dad does the same thing. Because it doesn't stop when you get out of school. We need to surround ourselves with godly people that will encourage us. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends." Sometimes we encourage our friends. Sometimes our friends encourage us, keep us on the straight and narrow. But that's what friends do. And if you have godly friends, heaven forbid you have friends that would be an encouragement to lead you astray. Daniel had people that encouraged him and people that he himself could encourage. Another aspect of Daniel, he spoke the word of God boldly. He proclaimed the word of God in the, not only the way he lived, but by speaking. In Daniel 5, 22 and 23, it says, "But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this." He is talking to the guy in charge of him. Could you imagine going to your boss and telling your boss or a good friend or a family member they've got sin in their life? That's hard to do. It is hard to correct each other because we are so flawed ourselves. That's why it's important for us to live upright lives of integrity. "But you, as son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified." That's tough to do. That's tough to do. To proclaim to somebody else, especially somebody in authority over you, that they're wrong, that they've got sin in their lives. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul is telling his beloved Timothy to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. when sometimes it's convenient to preach the word. Right now, amongst Christians, it's easy to preach the word. How is it when we go off to work, when we're maybe the oddball, when we're maybe in the minority? Right now, preaching the word to Christians or people that are at least wanting to hear the word of God, it's easy to do. It's easy to hear the word of God. It's easy to preach the word of God to people that want to hear it. But when we go off to work, when we're in our neighborhoods, when we're out in the community in places, maybe within our own family, people that don't believe the word of God, having to teach them and point out how their life is imperfect without the word of God. How by the way they live their life or by the way they believe wrongly certain scriptures, to point that out. Daniel boldly proclaimed the word of God. And we see Paul telling Timothy to be ready in season and out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not. When it's not easy to preach, to convince people, not beat them about the head and shoulders with the Bible, to convince them, to sometimes rebuke them, to exhort them, encourage them with all long-suffering. I need to read that part. With all long-suffering and teaching. What do you mean you don't understand it? It's there in black and white. It's as plain as the nose on my face. Why can't you understand this? Why don't you change your way? That's not with all long-suffering. People that I want to convince, people that I want to, that I desperately want them to be saved and to see the need for salvation, I've got to have long-suffering. Because I can say, well, what does this verse say? Do you not? Are you so stupid you don't understand it? You can't go about it that way. You'll never win a soul that way. You will never influence anybody that way. With all long-suffering and teaching. The longer I'm in the church, I realize the more long-suffering we need to have. Some people need more long-suffering than others. And I need long-suffering. Another way that we can learn from Daniel's life is the fact that Daniel walked in the way of the Lord. He lived his life in a way that was pleasing to God. In Daniel 6, starting in verse 3, it says, "Then Daniel distinguished himself above the governors, the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him." Daniel was doing good. Daniel was living his way in a proper, righteous way. And that was unpleasing to some people. They didn't like that. They felt jealous. They felt threatened. "We're going to figure a way out to knock Daniel down a few pegs." So they're conspiring against. Do you ever feel that way at work sometimes? You're a good moral person and you're in the midst of people that don't like that about you. Because it's a glaring example to them that they speak wrong, that they use wrong language because you don't. If everybody was acting the same way, you wouldn't stand out. But you may be a glaring reminder to people of how ungodly they are. So people were conspiring to find fault with them, but they couldn't find any fault. Went too far. I am still figuring this out. There we go. Back one more. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Wouldn't that be a great thing to be said about us? People look at us, whether it be anywhere, that the only thing, they can't find any fault with us. This is a righteous person. This is a man of integrity. This is a person that nobody has anything bad to say about. If we're going to find something bad, we're going to have to find it concerning their religion. Proverbs 10:9, "He who walks with integrity walks securely." We read this today in our Bible class. Proverbs 22:1, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold." Our name, our reputation, our integrity, how we're seen by God. And 1 John 1:7, the Apostle John writes, "If we walk in the light," and that's conditional, "if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse us from all sin." If we walk in the light. Daniel was a man that walked in the light. He walked in the way of the Lord. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel 6:10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," and the writing that it's talking about was that anybody that prays to any other god would be found guilty. And they weren't supposed to do that. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed even when he wasn't supposed to. I don't get, and I don't mean to open up a can of worms here. I don't get the people that are upset about, "Oh, they've taken away prayer in schools." No, they haven't. They have not taken away prayer from schools. I do it all the time. Trust me, they have not taken prayer from schools. Christians can pray everywhere. Whether the government says, whether the principal says you can't pray, they're not taking anything from you. We can pray any and everywhere. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul reminds the Christians there in Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean when we're driving along the freeway to bow our head, close our eyes. No. But you know what? You can pray while you're driving. I think that's what the problem is on our freeways. Too many people are taking this literally and they're closing their eyes when they're driving. That might be the problem. I think that might be the problem. Pray without ceasing. Have that attitude of prayer. Start your day out with prayer. Like Daniel, he prayed 3 times that day, as was his custom since early days. He didn't start something new. He continued on. The officials tried to take prayer from him, and they couldn't do it. Nobody can take prayer from you. I look at great people of God in the Bible, and I try to ask myself, what makes them such a great man or woman of God? And a common theme I see is that they were people of prayer, that they had an active prayer life, and Daniel did. And the last thing I'd like for us to look at is Daniel was faithful even in the face of death. We know the story, hopefully know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. That because Daniel continued to pray, He was going to be cast into a den of lions. Love animal shows. Love to watch those National Geographic and stuff. And I tell you, some of those lion attacks are vicious on those shows. Daniel was cast into the lion's den, and Daniel 6:16 says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Look at the influence Daniel had on those around him. They were convinced, the king was convinced that Daniel's God would save him. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We need to be faithful here. This is the easy place for us to be faithful. Inside these walls with other Christians, we're in the majority. But the moment we say amen and go out those doors, the odds are against us. We're in the minority. Be faithful until death. When it's easy, when it's hard, and I will give you a crown of life. There was six things we looked at in the life of Daniel. They're not the only things that we can learn from the book of Daniel. But these things, I hope we can take and adapt them to our lives. That Daniel dedicated himself to serve God. That Daniel surrounded himself with godly people. Can't walk in the gutter and not get dirty. Case closed. Can't walk in the gutter and not get dirty. He boldly proclaimed the word of God. It's easier to do here than it is out there. He walked in the way of the Lord. He was a man of prayer. And he remained faithful even in the face of death. Hopefully, you've learned some things that will inspire you and encourage you to adopt some of these things from a great man of God, Daniel. If you have any need of the congregation today, if you need prayers, if you need to repent of sins, if you're looking for a church home and would like to make South Valley your home congregation, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you would like to put your Lord on in baptism, I know most of our home members, most of our congregation are baptized believers. You visitors, I don't know the situation in your life. You may believe in God, but if you haven't been baptized, the Lord hasn't added you to His kingdom. If you would like to be baptized, if you'd like to study more, we have a number of people that are very learned that would love to sit down and study the Bible with you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song.